Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
And I'm Mike Tucker.
So, Mike, how unusual was this calling? Did you get knocked off your horse, too?
No, I did not get knocked off a horse, as you will find out in our study of Saul's turning to Paul and his calling as a prophet of God. It was a very unusual experience for him. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was also unusual, but not quite that unusual. Every denomination has a very prescribed method for people coming into ministry, and most everyone enters by the same way. But basically, I've always felt called to ministry, but I fought against it, didn't want to do it. And so I ended up teaching Bible at a Christian high school. Mm. And I came home one day from work and opened my mailbox, and there was a ministerial license, which just never, ever, ever happens.
Well, I happen to know the process here in our denomination. I know it doesn't work like that. No, you just don't get it in the mail, do
it
you?
It doesn't. And so that meant that my superiors had already decided that I needed to be entering into gospel ministry, and they decided to make that happen. Hmm. And I don't know if God gave them a special revelation that he had been arguing with me and said it's time to end the argument or what, but eventually, obviously, I accepted that calling. And
you took it as something that was coming from God, because you were kind of escaping your calling.
I was doing my best to run away, and he would not let me run. You know, I tried to compromise with him, but God does not compromise very well, and he doesn't fight fair. He won this fight easy.
Wow, that's interesting. You know, Saul, who will become Apostle Paul, is converted in such an unusual way. Actually, we were told in chapter 8 of Acts that he was heading this persecution of Christians.
This guy is searching out Christians and arresting them, even subjecting them to potential death sentences as he is hunting down this new religious sect. He recognizes the threat that this is to Judaism, to the old order of things, and he is a preserver of that which it was.
Yes, and actually he thinks he's right.
I mean, yes.
Usually all the terrible religious fights and wars, people think they are doing the right thing for God,
they're doing
atrocities sometimes.
They're doing God's will, they think, in creating all these terrible atrocities. There's not been one religious war fought where either side thought they were wrong.
Correct.
God was on their side. And yet, I don't think God was on either side at times.
Yeah, and in this case, we are even able to visualize how this, how Saul had this feelings and a passion against the disciples of the Lord, because it starts in chapter 9 by saying, "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder." I mean, you almost see him as, you know, I have to get these people.
He's a raging bull.
Yes, exactly. That's a visualization.
Yeah.
Against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters for him to go to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, and this is the name of Christianity in the book of Acts,
the way,
both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So he has gone for this very purpose. And he's on his way to Damascus when God says, okay, I'm going to send you a ministerial license in the mail.
In the mail, only it was far more dramatic.
Yes.
Actually, my way was far less traumatic on me, and so I appreciated that, Lord, that you didn't actually deal with me the same way you did with Saul. But in verse 3, it says, as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Let's stop right there, because that double address, Saul, Saul, is significant, is it not?
Yes. You know, this is very interesting, because all the prophetic callings, all the callings that have to do with major missions that God will give people in the Bible have this double address. You know, Moses is how God started when he called Moses to deliver the people of Israel.
That's Exodus chapter 3.
Yeah. Would you happen to have that?
I just happened to have that.
Oh, good.
Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then, of course, he goes on with explaining to him who he is and what this calling would be about.
If you want to do something interesting, put the two callings together, and you'll see how it goes in the same order. Mm-hmm. The double address, then the identifying. He says, I'm the God of your fathers, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here he says, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. And then he tells them how they're supposed to respond. In the case of Yahweh with Moses, take your sandals off because you're in a holy place. In this case, you have to go to the city and wait, and you were going to be told what to do next.
Yeah.
And then after that, he will be actually given instructions. And actually, we're going to read this, but then the specific mission that he's being called for.
All right. In fact, let's continue here with verse 5. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank.
And remember why he was going to Damascus. I mean,
He's there searching out members of the Way, this new Christian sect, to arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem.
So God has to let the Christians know that something has happened to Saul, because of course they're all scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a vision that the Lord gives one of the Christians in Damascus. His name was Ananias, and he said, "Here I am, Lord," on verse 10. And the Lord said, "Get up and go to the street called Straight." There were not that many streets. Actually, if you look at a map of Damascus of that time, it's very interesting because you have a few streets, and one of them is called Straight. I guess it was one straight street.
The one straight one.
Yeah, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. And he says what he has to do. But Ananias said, "Lord, I've heard of this man. Are you sure?"
Don't you know this guy? No, really. We all know about him.
Yes.
This is frightening. This guy's killing us.
Yes, and so he says, and he has come with, in verse 14, with the authority of the chief priest to take us all over there. And the Lord said, no, go, because he has become a chosen instrument of mine. And here we're told for what? He's going to be my witness, bear my name before the Gentiles
and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, it's interesting, too, that if you are reading this from a Bible and you have a red letter edition, that this is a place in the book of Acts where you find red letters.
Yeah.
You found it early on in the first chapter of Acts, and now you find it again because this is the voice of Jesus speaking specifically, first to Saul and now to Ananias.
Yes, and you know, it's very interesting because this conversion story will be told many times in the book of Acts, not just this time. This is the first time it's told. And afterwards, in chapter 22, when Paul talks to the Jews, he relates his conversion story once again. His calling. And then in King Agrippa, in chapter 26, he will tell the whole conversion story again. And every time you find it in red letters, because Jesus Christ is very much present with the church in the first century.
He is present, he is directing things, and he is intervening here. And right now he's speaking directly to Saul, saying, "I am your Lord. And by the way, I'm not just a dead prophet or a dead religious leader who has created this sect that is hurting Judaism. I am God, and I'm alive today."
Do you think, Mike, that every person has a calling, and perhaps none of us have had such a dramatic experience as this one, or having visions of Jesus Christ and our calling. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying, well, maybe I don't have a calling. Maybe I'm not that special, or maybe I'm not like Saul.
Yeah, and I think that that is a fallacy. I think that everyone has a calling. God has called you to a specific work. Now, that specific work may not be as a full-time preacher of the gospel, but you are to be a witness to him in one way or another, and your specific calling is for the purpose of building up the body of Christ and bringing others to know him as their personal savior. You've got a calling.
I found out that a lot of people are very confused between what is the gospel and what is our calling. And actually, they confuse the two. Like, I have to do my calling because if not, I won't be saved.
Yeah.
In this case, Paul has both things. He gets converted into Christianity, which is the gospel, accepting Jesus Christ as his personal savior. And then he's given a mission of how he's going to attract people to the kingdom of
God. That's right.
And I think it's very different, the two of them.
Yeah, it is very different. And you have been called to, first of all, be a son, a daughter of Jesus Christ, to be a part of his body and to experience eternity with him.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also been called to a specific work, a mission. And right now, that mission for you may be school. And right now, it may be raising your family. That may be a part of your mission.
Yes, or baking cookies for people in your block. I mean,
or it may be opening the Bible and sharing Jesus with someone.
Absolutely. And actually, I believe with all my heart that God reveals his calling to you, sometimes by providential circumstances in your life. Sometimes you're reading the Bible and you feel, you know, your heart racing, like God is actually saying, look, you know what happened there? Well, this is going to be you. I mean, there's many ways that the Spirit communicates with
us. I've heard people speak of a burden that they received, a strong desire or a leaning towards something. They just kept coming back to their mind. They knew that somehow God was leading him to do something in this particular area.
This was a life-changing experience for Paul, who immediately in verse 19 and 20 starts preaching Christ. He has this 180-degree turn. He was coming one way and he goes exactly the opposite way. And he becomes probably one of the most influential, if not the most influential, apostle that we have in the New Testament.
Well, you check out the New Testament books and how many of these books claim authorship by Paul. He is the shaper of New Testament theology. As we read the New Testament, we get as much of our theology from Paul, if not more, than any other writer in the New Testament.
God knows how to communicate with you in a way that you can understand. If you have never been converted to Christianity, God is going to do all kinds of things to get your attention. And today we want to invite you to actually accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and His calling for you.
And His calling for you will be some service that you render to Him or to others. Accept the calling.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.